the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
A Nickelodeon original podcast.
You can now listen to Avatar Braving the Elements ad-free on Apple Podcasts.
With an Avatar Braving the Elements premium subscription. Benders and non-benders alike. Welcome to Braving the Elements, Nickelodeon's podcast about all things Avatarverse. I'm Janet Varney.
And I'm Dante Bosco. And Varney, we've done it again. We've got another phenomenal guest for this episode.
Could not agree more, buddy. And I'm working on this theory, okay? Because we have had so many fantastic guests leading up to this point. I feel like it's a little bit of a snowball effect. Like those very first guests who agreed to take a chance on our little fledgling brand new podcast, they came on the show. They made us look really good. We didn't make us look good. They made us look good. And now we've just been riding that wave ever since. We can refer to all the great people who have been on the show. And then great people like today's guest are like, well, if Mike and Brian did it, I guess they're legit. So we're just like really exploiting that right now.
We fooled them all, Varney. We fooled them all. And now we get to welcome someone who joined the Avatar family a long, long time ago and who is actually a very special part of the awesome work happening at the Avatar Studios at this very moment.
It's true. We have had her on our wish list from day one. And I will say that was before we knew that she, in fact, would be the director of the upcoming Aang movie from Avatar Studios. Everyone, please welcome Lauren Montgomery.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
If you're just listening or if you're watching, you will find out in short order that Lauren has what I would consider to be like a perfect voice for podcasting or animation. And Lauren, I know you're not, you don't consider yourself an actor, but when you talk, I'm like, I want to go on a journey with that character. That character, I guess, being you.
I've had dreams of like, yeah, maybe I can do a podcast. Maybe I can get in on like this cool new thing. The problem is my conversational skills are severely lacking. So there's like a certain charisma that you need to go with the voice that I don't have. But I like to just sit back and think that like, you know, maybe someday I'll grow into a charismatic human being. It just hasn't happened yet.
No, don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short.
Here's the thing. First of all, we're so happy that you're here. But Dante, I think you need to like, you know, we just talked about the movie. We better like get this out of the way soon, right?
Yes. I know. The thing about it is the first thing everyone listening is going to want to know about is the Avatar, the new Avatar film. Can we talk about any of it at all? Yes or no?
No. No, we really can't. Nothing. We can't say anything that isn't already out in the world that you know. So if you hear it here, you can probably read it online. Otherwise, I don't know, someone might come and just snipe me.
We don't
right
want
through
that.
That door.
We don't want that. Yeah. Happen.
It might stall the movie a little bit.
Oh, we
They'll
definitely
have to find a new
that.
Director. They're going to have to get things going again. So yeah, if we want to keep things on track, we better just keep it hush.
We're not going to take that chance. And I will tell you, there was a moment when I was kind of prepping this episode for us that I thought maybe we could just avoid talking about it and kind of string everyone along so that they like waited it out. And then right at the end, we would be like, and now no more information about the movie. And then I was like, that's so cruel. And people are going to want to be here for Lauren and all of her experience leading up to this moment as well. So we thought, you know what, let's rip the Band-Aid off and just go through this journey together and know
yeah.
that.
We had to ask.
And
yes.
Can you at least tell us that, you know, it's amazing and you've had a great time directing it?
Of course. Okay. I mean, I'm always happy to be back with the Avatar family, back in this world, back with these characters. So it's awesome.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
As much as we want to push for more juicy details about the movie, let's leave the future and go back to the past. Let's start to where it all started, would you? Lauren, and like your responsibilities on Avatar: The Last Airbender and Korra.
Yeah. So on Avatar, I really only worked on like the last half of the last season. I just came in at the tail end, but I get to like tell everyone I worked on it and take all this credit for it. And it's an amazing show. And I had like such a small impact and a small role. And but I was one of the storyboard artists. I was working under Joaquin Dos Santos. He was one of the episodic directors.
Yes,
knew him from working previously on Justice League with him at Warner Brothers. And so we, he needed some help. He brought me in. And so I worked under him and just got to know the crew and the universe and had a lot of, it was just a lot of fun. There was something really beautiful about the Avatar episodes where they, I come from Justice League where everything was like action in the teaser, action in Act 2, action in Act 3. And it was like just really overbearing. And Avatar was very much like quality over quantity. And they're like, we're going to have like important action, but that's not the focus. The focus is still the story and the characters and the action, whatever action scenes we have, we're going to allow them to be like beautifully choreographed in martial arts. And so it was a much, much kinder show to work on. Like I was able to manage the work in like a timely fashion and not kill myself to do it. So it was a nice experience and I really loved it. And I forged a good relationship with Mike and Brian. And so when Korra started, they did the first season and it was beautiful. And of course people really responded to it. They greenlit it for more seasons and they knew, they worked really hard with a very small crew to make that first season and they knew they couldn't like maintain that. So they needed to bring on more people. And at the time I'd been with Warner Brothers for a while. I'd worked on Batman more times than I know, like more times than I can fathom.
It's amazing.
To the point where I was like, I don't know if I can keep working on Batman. And I was ready for a change. And so we had lunch and they said, hey, do you want to come over and, you know, help out with these upcoming seasons? And I said, yes. And my title was supervising producer, but myself and Joaquin and Ryu, who all kind of, we filled a similar space. We joke that we were just kind of highly paid revisionists because our job was to kind of just be this like sniper team that like we would have our crew do the boards. But then if anything needed plussing or needed to just be kind of brought up in quality or be revised at all, we would each attack. And so we felt really good about kind of the quality we were able to get into Korra. But yeah, that was my role. It was a lot of like storyboard and kind of visual storytelling focused. A lot of drawing hours, a lot of pain in the wrist, but fun.
I have a question. Since you brought up Joaquin, who's been on our show recently, he told us when he joined, first of all, you joined during book 3, that you're probably the reason why the Fire Nation, Book of Fire is so amazing. But also Joaquin told us when he joined the team, they made him draw a character. Did you have to draw any character before you joined Team Avatar here?
No, I had to do a test. Like,
yeah,
test you. Yeah. So my test was actually, I think it was a scene that Joaquin had boarded in the show. But it was a sequence. There were two sequences. One was from an episode where like, I guess Aang or a bunch of animals get released and they're like running through a city and like Aang has to wrangle them. And then another sequence was Zuko going on a date with the girl in the Earth Kingdom and being really
awkward. Bossing Say, Jin. Yeah. Shout out to Jin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those were my two test sequences and they were fun.
I feel like I'm asking a question about something that's pretty easy to parse just by virtue of the term you used. But you said if anything need to be plussed or plussing. So I feel like we sort of understand what that means because you also said sort of enhanced. But is that a term that you use just like inside baseball? Like, is that?
Yeah, basically. It's just kind of like if you think it could be enhanced, there's little things that can really be brought up in quality and can make the episode shine. It's like the work that's been done might be great, but there's like, it can be better. Like, oh, if we just tweak this a little bit, or if we just add this extra shot here, like somehow it just makes it feel even better. So yeah, plussing is a term that we use a lot to just, you know, add that extra little pizzazz, yeah. that extra finish to it.
Okay. And so, yeah, so it's kind of like punching up a script in a way, like from a writing perspective.
Exactly.
You said, so it could be anything from adding kind of an element, like zhuzhing or adding an element in a pre-existing storyboard frame, but it could also even be like adding a new frame to an existing storyboard?
Yeah, or taking a frame that already exists, but just doing the slightly better version of it. It's like this this version is maybe 70% of its max potential, and we want to get it as close to 100% as we can get it.
Got it. And what are those conversations like with the storyboard artists that you're sort of plussing from? Are they seeing that? Are they learning from that? Are you kind of, is that a collaborative process where you're like, hey, this is amazing, we've talked about it and we think, what if we do this? Or is it just sort of, it comes to you and you go like, I'm going to just, everyone's looking, I'm just going to plus it a little bit and then send it on.
Yeah, actually it's both. There's a little bit of both. So we do try to like teach our artists. There's always a learning curve when you come onto an Avatar show. It's so like specific in how like they do their visual storytelling. Its tone is really specific. The shots are very specific. Like everything, like there's always a learning curve. It's like Joaquin went through it. I went through it. Like we all go through it, and we kind of like, you learn and you hone in on like, okay, now I know exactly like what shots are right for the Avatar universe and like what kind of comedy is right. And so when we get new board artists that come into the world, we always want them to learn. So there's multiple phases of noting. There's you get your script and then you do a rough storyboard and then we'll have a review. They'll show us their roughs, they'll pitch, we'll do notes on that if notes are needed. Notes are usually heavier the earlier we are in the season, and then the more they learn, the later we get in the season, the less notes we have to make because people are just like, they're dialed in and they're getting it. And then there's that stuff that happens later, like once the storyboard has done their roughs, they've got their revisions, they've done the cleanups, they've gone back in and tied it down and made it clean and pretty, and it's kind of ready to go. And then we'll have like a last pass where we'll look through it, and we'll, sometimes it's a revision that just needs to be made because like, oh, it turns out this episode is a few seconds too long. It's like 20 seconds too long. We need to cut 20 seconds. Mm. We might cut something out and now we need to stitch those scenes together. So we need to just add like one little scene that just kind of makes it not an awkward cut. Right. But then there's other things where we're like, you know, we thought more about this and like, it was working good for us then, but I actually like, I have this idea that I feel like can elevate it and will attack.
Need some plussing. Need some plussing.
Yeah.
Have you ever overplussed?
Does a plus ever become a minus?
You're like, we're plussing too much, you guys. Too much plus.
We overplussed.
Not that comes to mind, but you know, there is stuff where I've had an idea and I'm like, this is going to make it so much better. And I'm like, halfway into that idea and I'm like, I regret every part of this. Like, actually I think it was clearer and simpler before, and then you just stop doing what you're doing and feel ashamed.
We've all been there. It's like whether it's just putting on an outfit and realizing like, I over accessorized the heck out of this, or writing a script and being like, oh, it's too manic now, like I've tried to stick too many jokes in, or we've all overachieved.
Yes,
some of us more than others. Some of us are really have to reel ourselves back when we're trying to do too much.
Avatar: Braving the Elements is sponsored by BetterHelp. I feel blessed that I'm able to spend at least some of my time doing what I love, bringing characters to life and talking with others about those characters, even quiet moments to myself. That me time is really important for mental health. And with how fast the world moves, it can be hard to make time to do what you love. It's a skill for sure, and that's where BetterHelp comes in. They can help you develop the ability to take back your time. Want to start? Give BetterHelp a chance. It's completely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and to fit into your schedule. Just complete a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. It's easy to switch therapists at any time for no charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/elements today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/elements.
Let's go back even further than you finding Avatar and the Avatarverse finding you. And you had mentioned that you and Joaquin had worked together even before the DC stuff. Like, where did you grow up and when did you start drawing? And did you always kind of have this sort of end idea in mind that you would work in animation?
Yeah. So I always loved animation. I loved cartoons when I was a kid. Like, I didn't want to watch it unless it was animated. If it had real people in it, I was like, bah, this is bullshit. Like, just, I want to watch cartoons. And it was just something that I really loved, but I think I was just too dumb of a kid to realize that that was people's jobs. Like, that was something you could do. And it took me a while before I figured that out. Like, you get those weird tests in school that'd be like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they'd have like the, you just had to pick one of the options. And and I would always just pick visual artist because it was the closest. But I was like, I'm not a painter. Like, all I knew of art was like people who do paintings. And I'm like, that's not really me. I just like drawing fan art of the cartoons I like.
What cartoons are we talking, Lauren? What cartoons were we talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I grew up with She-Ra. And yes. Gem,
the OG She-Ra.
Yes. Also,
those are my cartoons too.
Same, I know.
And I
love She-Ra.
I hung in through a lot of the Disney Afternoon, like the DuckTales. Gargoyles was big for me. Batman the Animated Series was big, and then at some point I found anime, which like then I was like all in on Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon. I was an adult at this point, but I was still like watching. I would still on my VHS tape and my television VCR combo, I would set my timer to record Sailor Moon while I was at school. So there you go. There's a nice little trip down memory lane of technology that nobody uses anymore.
Awesome.
Once I discovered that that was a job, I wanted to do it. And I grew up a lot on Disney, like just rewatch the Disney classics over and over again. The Little Mermaid is my favorite movie of all time. And so when I was a kid, I was like, I'm going to be an animator at Disney. Like, that was what I wanted to do. When I finally went to college, that's where I learned how to storyboard. And I realized I gravitated more towards that than towards the actual animation. Also, sadly, 2D animation in the States was dead at that point. Like, nobody was doing it in the States. There weren't really jobs. But luckily, I really enjoyed like the storytelling side of it. And it's just, you know, it's just those things as a kid, you don't know that they exist. Like, I didn't know what a storyboard was until I learned about it.
Right. Were you drawing all these characters the whole time growing up?
Oh, I knew every Disney princess by heart, and I would just fan art them to an insane degree, which made things very interesting when my first job was on like a reboot of He-Man. And I was not well versed in drawing large burly men. And I had to learn real quick how to do. I didn't understand boy hips. I was like, where are they? How do they work?
Especially He-Man's hips. It was like the big shoulders into a very tiny.
He's
tiny
a triangle.
Waist. There were no hips. It just when the legs were the thing that came out. And I all of for a decent chunk of time, all of my big burly men had like lovely lady legs, and I had to just develop my male character drawing skills pretty quickly.
Lovely lady legs. I love it. I want the Easter eggs of looking at old animation of yours and storyboards of yours and being like, well, it's pretty nice lady legs.
Lovely, lovely lady legs.
There were some soft legs under those furry loincloths.
Those characters were lucky to have those legs. That's my perspective on that. That's my perspective. Where did you go to college when you were learning how to storyboard and stuff?
Loyola Marymount University, which is like in Marina del Rey, like on the beach there, which was fun because it was a 4-year long like bad hair day, like just humidity and my hair were not friends. But I wasn't there for good hair. I was there to learn animation. And we did.
And it's a beautiful campus.
It is. It's a lovely campus. Yeah. And it was a good time. And yeah, the greatest thing was one of my teachers was a man by the name of Jay Oliva. He works in the industry to this day. And he taught us how to storyboard for the industry, which I think a lot of our classes were more, like art-based, but they weren't necessarily preparing you for the workforce. And he really kind of gave us, these are the things you have to be able to do to survive in a studio. And it was incredibly helpful. And he actually ended up being the person who gave me my first job on He-Man, where I drew lovely lady legs on buff men. And after that, that kind of gave me my in to the industry. Started bulking out my portfolio with the work I did, and from there was able to kind of go off on my own and continue to work. So eternally thankful to Jay Oliva for giving me that start.
Shout out to Jay. Well, we have a surprise for you, Jay. Could you come in?
Ooh.
I don't know. Why is Jay at my studio? That doesn't make sense.
I've worked with Jay. He's amazing.
There you go. Yes.
Very cool. Wow, that's a fun surprise.
It's a small industry. I mean, you work in it long enough, you'll meet everyone.
Yeah.
Especially on the action adventure side of things. Like, that was the mystery of Avatar to us, because we were all working on these action adventure shows over at Warner Brothers with superheroes, and they're all punching each other. And then we hear of this kind of action show that's happening at Nickelodeon. We're like, who are these people? Like, how come we don't know them?
Yes.
And then it ended up being this beautiful show, and we're like, oh, we need to get to know these people.
Yeah, I mean, for you loving anime, was this the first time that you got to really do something that felt the closest to that coming out of DC with Joaquin, or had you dabbled in more anime stuff before?
Well, we rode that line. Like, there were things we would use some of our anime influence in our boards, and every once in a while we'd get a note from the showrunners. It's not too anime. like a shot might be a little too anime for their tastes, but I think we were already some of it was already it was just so in us that it was coming through in a lot of what we did. But Avatar was definitely the first show that really embraced it and really loved it, and it was in the DNA, and they wanted to celebrate it. So it was great to not have to try to slide it in under the radar.
Amazing.
Let's get into Avatar. Even though you came in on book three, you obviously knew the show. Do you have a favorite of Avatar, The Last Airbender, the first series? Do you have a favorite book, season or anything?
Oh, you know what? That's a very hard question. I think it's kind of a toss-up between the first book and the second book. I tend to be an act one sort of lady. I love the discovery. I love
the setup, the setup of the story.
Finding all the setup. And so there was so much great stuff in that act one. And I don't know, even the blue spirit that's in book one, of just those first hints of there's more to Zuko than you think. I'm probably just going to go with book one. I enjoy waterbending too. If I had to choose a bender, I'd probably go with earth, but we did on our crew. We all took the test, little
you did.
Online test.
Oh, you are getting low. I got to stop you. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Oh,
we
I'm
have
so
to
sorry.
Save that question for.
Let's save it for later.
We got to save that question.
I jumped.
This
I
is
jumped
tantalizing.
Way too far.
No.
You didn't. You didn't know what we were planning. But this is very tantalizing because it's a real cliffhanger. This is a real.
Okay.
That you're like. This, I like this, but I took the test and then we're like, and we'll come back to that. So that's good suspense, right? That's very good suspense. And I love the sort of, I love the reasoning behind loving that first book so much. And I kind of feel similarly, even though like there are characters and arcs that, you know, I can't imagine not happening. Of course, we have the luxury of saying what a choice is, knowing that all of the great juicy stuff happens no matter what we choose. But that first season, also the hero's journey of it, right? That there's that you really start to get that feeling of like, oh, I'm going to see many new things. I'm not starting out in Ba Sing Se, or I'm not starting out in the Fire Nation in this sort of slightly more consistent locale. Like, we're going all over the place as we see these characters discover these places, in many cases for the first time. So that makes a lot of sense, especially for a world builder like you, because you're kind of seeing what's possible from the jump. So that totally makes sense. What about episodes? Do you have episodes in any of the books that you're just like, oh, this is a favorite, you know?
You know, Toph's intro episode, The Blind Bandit, I think
great.
That's just always a favorite of mine. Like her whole introduction, the fight, the way her powers were introduced, like the way she can kind of sense through the earthbending, and just the over the topness of like the fun of the pro wrestling. It's just so much fun. Like, I really, really enjoy that episode. It's one that I look back to, because not only do I enjoy it for the content, but I really love like how it was boarded, like the shot choices that they made, like the timing. It's all just really, really great.
It's a great one. Great one. Any others that stand out to you? Like, you know, Tales of Ba Sing Se is a big hit with the fans, but you had to test off of that episode. So I don't know if that episode might feel stressful to you in a way that we can't.
It is.
You know,
it's like, that's a, you know, I also just really enjoy, it's funny because when I rewatch them on Netflix to like remind myself of what it is, like the end of the series, they took like four to six episodes. I can't even remember how many.
Squeeze them
and they're
together.
All like just junked into
like
one.
A movie.
But it's such a huge thing. And like, there's so many like amazing moments in that finale, like Azula breaking down, the Zuko and Azula face off. Really, it's just a lot of like Azula and Zuko stuff that like I find very like compelling and interesting. But then of course, like the big culmination of Aang's arc and like the huge battle between him and Ozai, it's all just really like, it was so beautifully done. I just really enjoy those ones as well.
Epic. It's epic. Like, you really get the sense, and that's what also continues to just dazzle me so much about the series in general, is there are so many moments where, and of course, Mike and Brian, and maybe, I mean, you probably don't have the same sense of this that they do, because they're so aware of the advancements in technology and the advancements in animation. So, you know, we'll have this emotional conversation with them where Dante and I are just like, and then in that first season, when Aang and Zuko finally, and they're like, oh yeah, there was so much we wish we could do better about that. And you were like, what are you talking about?
Like, what?
You know, because for us, it's like, there's so many things like the evolution of everyone's bending and stuff, like Katara. You sort of see a thing and you're like, that's amazing. It couldn't get any more amazing. And then there's an episode down the line where something even more amazing happens. She does this whole new thing with waterbending that you're like, wait, what? That was like still to come? And that goes all the way until the end of the series, right? Like, there's stuff in that final episode where you're like, I genuinely felt like they couldn't top stuff I've already seen, and it's happening right now. And that is magic to me. Like, I don't know how that even works, you know?
Yeah, that I think is the plague of being an artist and a creator, is like, you have this idea in your head and you're trying to get as close to it as you can, and you can never meet it. And so all you end up seeing is just like the deficiencies, like all the areas where you didn't make it. But the audience only sees what you give them, and most of the time, if they're a good, healthy audience, they appreciate it. They appreciate what you're giving them. And so, yeah, it's why we're all so tortured.
Thank you. Thank you for making me feel a part of that.
It's like, we people always ask, like, whenever I'm talking to someone, they ask what I do, and I say, oh, I work in animation. They're like, that sounds fun. And I was like, you'd think it would be fun, but I'm telling you, it can, sometimes I want to murder things, but you know, it's, that's what we do.
since you've, and you've actually drawn these places, but do you have a favorite place in the world of Avatar that you would like to visit for any reason?
You know, probably Ba Sing Se, just because there's so much to see. Also, I would freeze my butt off in like the water tribe.
And, lots to do. Lots to do in Ba Sing Se. There's lots to do in that city. A lot of fun things to do in Ba Sing Se.
Yeah, sure. Each of the different rings like offers you different things to see, and it seems fun. Like it feels theme parky, and I'm like, yeah, yes. Ba Sing Se is like Avatar Disneyland. I want to go there.
Good public transit over there. Good public transit.
That's right.
Public transit. Like lovely little abodes. Like just give me a nice freebie little Earth house, I'll take it. Hey,
clean streets.
As long as you don't make any waves, you're safe.
You're safe.
Like I feel like I could keep to myself, that not arouse any suspicions and live a happy life.
I agree, and you're right. You know, when you bring up the rings, it's true that like you certainly hear about that and you see it play out to a degree in the episodes that follow after the gang is kind of finding out like, okay, here's the setup of the city. Here's how it all works. Here's what these different areas represent and what they allow and who lives there. But yet at the same time, there's so much going on in the story that you're not really spending time the way, like an RPG play, like those sorts of like immersive experiences where you're like, well, wait, now that I know the rules of the city, like I want to have the freedom to kind of see all of that myself. Because, there's only so much you can explore, but it does give the sense, especially with Tales of Ba Sing Se, of all of these little pockets of life happening everywhere that
there's
you sort of wish you could
Ba
just
Sing
go
Se.
And
a
be
lot
a
to
fly
do.
On the wall.
A lot to do in Ba Sing Se. And when you go, I have good recommendations. I got a great tea shop you should definitely check out. Best team Ba Sing Se, 100%.
Sure. Hope it's still so there.
Jasmine Dragon, check it out.
Are there any specific memories you have of like working on particular episodes where, there's the sort of like the stress or the magic or, having that new idea of like, what if we, something like that?
Well, there's definitely been both. Storyboarding is a stressful job. It's just a lot. It's a lot of pencil mileage. There's just a lot you have to do. And back in the days, we worked on paper, which was like, a pain in the butt. As soon as we went digital, like life got better, but it also gave you more control. So you ended up doing more. So you made more work for yourself.
No.
But usually like when you break down the amount of pencil mileage you're going to have to do for a scene, an acting scene, like that's like a talking scene or character scene between two people, is usually like a simpler task. It doesn't mean you need any less talent or less like attention to detail, but there's less drawings necessary for it. And then you get the martial arts stuff. And the bigger it is, like the bigger the attack. I worked on, was it like the Day of Black Sun? It's whatever, the big eclipse where they do the big attack in, I think,
part
the middle
one and two.
Of,
part one and two, that episode.
Book three.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we worked on part two, which was where most of the hell broke loose. And armies, like fire armies, like the siege, water tribe, earth kingdom, like everyone. It was a lot of pencil and mileage. And so I just remember like sweating bullets, trying to make sure that I was getting everything done. Cause like, you don't want to be late. And schedules were a little less forgiving back in the day.
Like, so we've heard.
I think we had 5 weeks, which I think for me was like, oh my God, 5 weeks. I had 4 weeks on Justice League, which was like, hey, have an army of superheroes fight an army of mindless robots in every episode. And like I didn't have a life on Justice League. I lived at work and I just worked. Wow. Avatar, I was able to have a life. It was nice.
I'm digging this term. Pencil mileage. Pencil mileage.
Oh, yeah.
The first time,
like
the first time I heard
it's
it.
Like shoe leather.
The first time I heard this. Sounds so good. I'm thinking there's miles and miles of ink going on
the
on these
amount
paintings.
Of drawing you have to do. Wow. Yeah, the amount of graphite that ends up on that page. The amount of pages, like, oh my goodness, like phone books. The storyboard stacks just were drunk. They were huge. So there was a stress, but there are certainly moments that, like, you always, once you kind of get into a scene, you usually end up loving it. There's a few that you hate because you're just like, ah, this is so hard. But once you're kind of like figuring out that puzzle, it becomes like this pride thing where you're like, yeah, I figured that out. I'm really proud of like how this is coming together. And I think one of my favorite scenes to do was that scene in I forget which part, I think it was probably part three of the finale, where Azula kind of like talks to her mother and has a breakdown. And I remember working with that script and like being very conscious of my shots and staging it in such a way where, depending on how you viewed it, like it either looked like Azula was turning away from the mirror to face her mother in real life. Or if you knew that her mother only existed in the mirror, she was turning her back on her mother. Ooh. And it could be read in different
ways. It was very cinematic, that moment.
Oh.
But that was a really fun, like, as simple as it is, it's just two people kind of having this conversation. It was really fun to figure out. I had a lot of, there was also like the moment of her like doing her hair and messing it up and like chopping her bangs off. And just a lot of those things were just fun for me to draw, fun to figure out, fun to like make her get all kind of like out of sorts and like upset about things. There's just Azula acting was always really fun.
Okay, this we like to get a little kooky. We like to expand our imaginations a tiny bit with a couple of questions. If you had to run for political office, you have to run for political office, and you have to pick one character from the Avatarverse as your running mate. Who do you pick and why?
From anywhere in the universe, you know, I'm just gonna go with Sokka. I just feel like he's got the salesman in him. Like he's got the hype man quality. Like,
and he's very smart.
He's gonna
and he's very
up
smart.
For whatever I like.
Super
he's
smart.
Got a plan.
Great
he's
with people.
Got a plan. And one of my favorite like visual gags from the Avatar universe was that Sokka's like scroll, like his plan scroll, is literally the animation schedule that we use.
Right.
Yes, we heard about
it's got,
this.
It's like one of those weird, and it's like I see those schedules, and I'm like, I still to this day, they're hard to read. They are hard to read. It's just like weird chunks of color, and our Benjamin Kaltenecker, who worked with us on Korra, worked with Joaquin and me on Justice League, worked with us on Voltron, on other shows we'd go to work on. He always had that schedule, like that scroll. Like he just would walk around with like giant scrolls of paper because the schedules were so long. And it's just funny.
That was an amazing thing to learn. I think that's in the art book even. But yeah, because your name is all over that art book.
Okay, here's another one. Which character from Avatar would you take with you on a safari and why?
Oh my gosh, on a safari. What kind of safari? Is this like a well, like managed, we're sitting on a little like
not managed
like
well.
People are pointing things out, or is it like we have to like actually
I think it's a self-safari. It's a self-safari. Self-safari.
Okay. Great. I feel like I'm gonna bring Toph.
Good choice.
For all the reasons that I like earthbending is like if we need to like make an emergency hobbit hole, she's going to do it. We are covered. We are in there. We are hidden. Like I am not a lady who is fond of discomfort. Like I like, I'm not camping outdoors. I might glamp if
Toph,
I had
Toph
to.
Toph can make you a nice little cozy condo, like, you know,
yeah.
A setup house, a little mini house out
there. That's exactly it. It's like, if we're really like, we're on that safari, and in my mind, I'm just assuming this is like a hot place.
Could be.
I need shade. I am a very fair-skinned individual. It's not going to end well for me. So I just need like someone who can literally make a structure to protect me.
Instantly.
Great.
Instantly.
Amazing. And probably tell you well in advance, like, well, a stampede of elephants is coming this way. So
She knows that there's like a Komodo rhino or something like in the grass over there.
There's something coming toward us!
What is it?
It feels like an avalanche, but also not an avalanche.
Your powers of perception are frightening.
That's
and
right.
And she's already on it.
That's right. So. Here's a question for you, Lauren. Are there like tricks, almost like a shorthand that you develop when you're drawing characters a lot? Like say Dante and I wanted to learn how to draw a certain character from the show. Like, how would you teach us to do it? And more specifically, will you teach us to do it right
Janet,
now?
Janet, don't do this. Is that what we're doing right now?
I'm sorry. Grab a piece of paper. I think we need to do this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You know, there's definitely like shape languages that I feel like you can find
shape
in the
language.
Characters. Like, yeah, well, like
Dante's
we're gonna have some pencil mileage with these shape languages.
I mean, you may. It's entirely possible. Oh. The Avatar characters are very fun and very forgiving, and I think the beautiful thing about them is that they have such iconic, accessories to them, like
okay.
Aang, you put an arrow on a guy's head and you're uh-huh. gonna get that's Aang. Like yeah. you get the hair
Scar.
Loopies on Katara and
yeah.
you
yeah.
get it. Scar on
Scar.
Zuko.
Great yeah. point. The headband tossed
like
hair.
Bangs,
yeah.
The big bun.
Top
yeah.
bun on
so,
Sokka.
So there are things that
top
like,
knot.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
those are the things that like really help kind of sell. Like when a character design is really well achieved, it has those things that are identifiers that, like, you can draw that character so wild,
yeah.
but people are still going to get it. So
okay.
So that would be my recommendation.
Well, so okay, so tell us to draw, have us draw a character and see if you can kind of walk us through, like,
are we
pick,
doing
and
this
pick a character
right now,
and you
Barney?
Can be kind. I want you
Barney,
to feel,
we're doing
you
this
be cruel.
Right now?
Yeah, I think we need to. I think we need
All
to.
Right.
If we could make it through Dee Bradley Baker trying to teach us how to make Appa and Momo's voices and
yes,
us doing a spectacularly
true.
Bad job, we can handle a little sketching.
Can't be any worse than that. Can't do any worse than
That's
that.
Right. That's right.
Cool. Well, why don't we go with our main character, Aang? He's
great.
Hopefully,
Aang.
Hopefully
okay.
one of the simpler ones.
Okay.
I feel like you can start by drawing as good of a circle as you could draw.
Great.
And,
we are essentially not looking at any pictures, by the way, you guys. This is like Lauren is describing to us what to draw. So we're going to draw,
you
I'm drawing a circle.
As spherical as you can get.
Okay.
And that's kind of going to be like the top of your skull is what that's going to be.
Okay.
And then coming off of that, you need kind of like a fairly short or shallow, like round area that's going to be Aang's like lower jaw.
Okay.
You don't need to make it too long. He doesn't have a very long face. He's a kind of a cute squat,
okay.
curvy little
fellow.
So
the top half is like a circle, but then down here, it's not a circle. You're going to want to like hone
Say,
it in a little
you
wanna bit
You want to kind of like
chin.
Extend it a little bit. So if the circle kind of comes.
Okay. So the circle's still there. I gotcha. You
yeah.
add to the circle. Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You add
okay.
to the circle. Circle
okay.
basically stands for like the area, the skull that protects your brain.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then you want to get that jaw, like that skeleton jaw. That's like kind of down.
Okay.
If you
this eraser does not work, so this is very interesting.
I'm feeling very vulnerable about my shape language right now.
Yeah, yeah.
As
shape
soon as
language.
You slap that arrow on his head, he's gonna look like Aang. It's gonna
okay,
be fine.
Great.
Okay,
great.
So if you look at that circle that you drew, the first
yeah.
circle, and you go about halfway down,
mm-hmm.
and then go about halfway between halfway and the bottom.
Uh-huh.
Halfway between halfway.
Yeah. So it's halfway like
down.
Three quarters
yeah.
of the way, I
okay.
guess. Three
okay.
quarters of the way down.
Uh-huh.
You want to kind of, that'll be like the bottom of your eyes. Like you
okay.
want to draw your eyes on top of that like invisible line.
Okay.
I'm tripping it.
And Aang's got some pretty big eyes.
I mean, this is almost, from what you described and what I drew, I feel like I'm about to draw his eye where his jaw is. So that can't be, I gotta do better at this.
I don't know what's going on right now, my stuff either.
All right, bottom of his eye. Okay, I'm doing bottom of his eye. All right. Little, I'm just doing little half circles. Is that, does that make sense?
That's absolutely fine. Like Aang, you know, he usually has like a line kind of at the top of his eye and a line at the bottom to kind of imply.
Okay.
I don't know.
So far,
I'm
I've made a sleeping alien, a sleeping little green man.
Mine looks like a robot, kind of. I don't know what's going on.
Sometimes they look like little green men. I mean, early on, and especially when they're bald, that can happen.
Okay.
I'm going to try to draw with you, even though my drawing is going to be trash because
no, I already drew three pieces of trash.
You do not need to worry with the company you're in.
So what we're getting at here is like some that should look a little bit like this.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
It does make sense. I see those little lines in the middle. That's smart.
You got this little like guy that's where the eyes are going to go, and you got your jaw. I usually draw like a line down the center. It's just habit. To kind of give you like that symmetry where you know the center of your guy is. We call those construction lines in the biz.
Okay, construction lines. And construction lines are important. All right.
They help you with the construction of the character.
Okay.
So then, yeah, if you've got your eyes, you're good. Like they're usually somewhere. Oh my goodness, I'm embarrassed, but like somewhere in there, like.
Okay.
There's kind of like
that looks like something.
The general outside of your eyes.
Okay, great.
Okay,
he's got
some
little eyelashes up top.
He's got little eyelashes. Okay.
Eyelashes.
You can give him like some nice big pupils if you want. My guy looks a little bit cross-eyed, but you can make him look in any direction. He can look to the side. He can look up. He can look down. He can look anywhere. Aang can sometimes look a little crazed.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Mine definitely does. So thank you for giving us permission for that.
Mine I don't know what's going on. Mine looks like an insect. Okay.
Cool. And then, so somewhere in this general area, below the eyes, but not too low down, you want to do his nose. And for Aang, like, with his nose, less is more. You just want to kind of draw like a couple nostrils and then like the little outside kind of flappy of the nose.
Okay.
So it's like it's been a while since I've drawn an Aang. This looks a little piggy, but if you can see that.
Okay. Where I am.
This is where I'm at.
There you go. I'm seeing an Aang.
Mine looks like an Aang. It looks like an alien. That's what's going on there.
He's got his own personal charm, I have to say. He's got a unique quality to him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what's going on there.
Maybe he'll be the main character of his own show one day.
Maybe he will.
I mean, you know, I feel like eventually we're going to get to Avatar in space, so you hold on to that long enough.
See? Okay.
And he's going to be viable.
Okay.
So then you just want to give him like a little, I don't know, a little like
mouth.
Aang mouth. And like
how close
Aang
to the bottom of his
there.
Face is that? Okay.
Somewhere
all right.
in between the nose. Okay. Like, luckily, lips are malleable. They can go like up and they can go down. So, you know, and we cheat the heck out of it. Sometimes, like in those Ahsoka expressions and some Aang expressions, that mouth will be like practically hanging off the chin.
You guys, this is like I said, this eraser is like gray and it's terrible and dry. So he has a 5 o'clock shadow because I tried to erase some of the line and all I did was just add this grizzly 5 o'clock shadow.
Oh, I'm in pen and I'm drawing some people. I don't know if they're Aang, but they're just, their faces are showing up somewhere. You know, there's people.
I like them a lot.
What's next?
So I've got my grizzled shadow, 5 o'clock shadow.
Cool. And then I guess we gotta give him some eyebrows. We gotta give him like an expression.
Okay.
So however you want him to be, you can have like they can be doing different things. He's got like maybe he's got like one up and one down sort of a situation. Whatever you want him to be.
Are his eye circles like are his whole eyes, like his whole irises?
Whoa.
Okay, so so the top of his eye is like the top of his iris. I'm making him look insane.
I mean, you can
so
make him.
I need to like
you can put him anywhere.
Adjustment.
There's literal consumer products art of Aang with insane eyes. It's kind of a thing he does.
It is crazy once you put eyebrows on them, they have expressions. They have an expression. Yeah. Once you put the eyebrow on, they do look like they're doing something when the eyebrow goes on there. Like, it looks like they have an expression.
There you go. Yeah. He's got a soul in there now.
He's got a soul in there now. Hey.
But this Nendoroid of Aang right behind me does have insane eyes. So it's not it's not unheard of for Aang to have insane eyes. If you wanna get fancy, you can add like a little pupil inside of that iris and a little highlight.
Yeah, the highlight seems like it's a real like the highlight seems like it's a big piece of the animation. You're like, oh, it's a little highlight.
It's optional, you know. For this exercise, we can make it optional.
Okay.
All right. So we've got like the big main structures of our head.
Oh no.
Let's give him some ears. He does have some big kind of
big ears.
Okay. Side
big
ears. He's got big ears. They're usually kind of like starting next to the eyes and kind of heading down towards the nose, like top around the eye, bottom around the nose, ish.
Okay.
Ears.
You know, I just gave him some little cartoon monkey ears there.
Oh,
he just looks a little bit nuts.
I like those monkey ears. Okay, this is
ears
great.
Are big. Yeah,
okay, my guy is such an old man. He's a really funny looking old man with very grizzled.
Okay, something's happening. Actually, it's starting to look Aang-ish. I'm not going to lie. I'm doing two at the same time because I don't know what I'm doing. But
you're smart. That's very smart.
And I think
this is terrible.
I mean, unless you guys want to go for a full body, I think all
Nobody.
We can put that arrow on the thing that we know Aang to be. And so the arrow originates kind of right between the eyebrows. Start him right between the eyebrows, and it's pretty large. It's not huge. Brian definitely has like very specific measurements for the arrow that I'm sure I'm going to get wrong.
Yeah.
Nothing about this drawing is really right. So you just throw a little arrow on his head there, and you've got some sort of a weird, sketchy Aang.
I have got to get a better eraser.
Yeah, I'm not much of a drawer, but I'm gonna tell you something, Laura. I think we drew some kind of Aang. Look at this. Watch us. Look at Varney.
There he is.
That's great.
That's him.
Oh my God.
Mine has a black eye. There's a lot wrong here.
He's got some eyeshadow.
Yeah. I mean, he got beat up a little bit he got in a fight with one of the, like he was trying to ride an eel or a dragon or something in the water.
Yeah. He went a little too far.
I'm actually enhancing his black eye now so that it really seems like it's a real thing.
Well, he overplussed.
It's just on purpose. Now it's on purpose.
He's amazing.
I got to say, I know you're working in the animation world, but, you know, like your teacher, Jay, when it comes a time for you to teach, I think you're going to be a decent teacher. Look at that.
Oh, you've already taught some, haven't you? It's very clear to me that you have.
I try not to. I am not a great teacher.
You did great.
I know great teachers. I work alongside Steve Ahn, who is an amazing teacher. I don't know enough of why I do the things I do to be able to explain to people how to do them.
I feel the same way sometimes when they ask me to come and guest in an acting class. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell them what I do clearly, or if they can do it.
Yeah, it's a whole other skill set. But I feel like you walked us through that very nicely, and you were very kind.
This is the first time in my life I drew Aang. This is the first time I've ever drawn Aang, and it's pretty good. People ask me to draw Zuko all the time.
Yeah.
I got to learn. You have to teach me how to draw Zuko, because literally every so often a fan asks me to draw Zuko in their sketch pad, and I look at them like, I'm a voice actor. Why would you want me to do that? But if I can draw if I can get some tricks in there, it'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to practice. I'm very inspired right now. But I think it's safe to say we're not coming after your job anytime soon,
no,
Lauren.
No.
We have a long way to go. But we have, before we let you go, this is the last couple of things, just a couple of quick questions we always ask all of our guests. Are there hybrid animals you particularly love? Is there a favorite or favorites?
You know, I actually had to like look them up because I couldn't remember. And there were a couple that I gravitated towards. There was a koala otter that I thought was very cute.
I love the koala otter.
I will give you a little bit of a glimpse. Wait, this is nothing about the movie, truly. But one early exercise we did was we did design just a bunch of hybrid animals. Wow. Just for the fun of it, just to get
cool.
into the spirit.
Oh,
and
I love
one
that.
One animal that came out of that was an ox toad that I really Ooh. Loved.
if we can get our hands on a picture, that'd
is
be
it
great.
An ox as big as a toad yeah. or is it a toad as big as an ox?
It's, great question.
It's the size of an ox.
What
with a toad
are we
face
talking about?
And kind of like a bit of like a furry shoulder mane.
What?
Okay.
And he's a little horrifying, but also very cute. Like in that like so ugly, it's cute sort of way. So he was one of my faves.
I love
and,
that.
And if we can get you an image, we will. Otherwise, right. it'll probably end up in an art book someday. And someday we'll see it. I'll try to jam him in to the movie if I can, but no promises.
try to jam him in. And if not, we would like to invite our cabbage heads, all of our fans and friends who are watching or listening, share your ox toad with us on social media. Hit us up on Instagram. Share your sketch with us. Tag us. We want to see your version of an ox toad.
And now another question that we ask all our guests, and it's no stranger to you having an anime background, but what characters do you ship in the Avatarverse?
Oh my goodness. I ship the Boulder.
Hey.
And whoever the other wrestling guy was, whose name I can't remember. But I feel like, you know, they should have a lovely little relationship. They met on the job. That's how I see it.
I
and
love
like,
it.
And this tension between like their roles turned into like a beautiful,
yes.
A beautiful. Oh. Tension of another sort.
One of the best ships I've ever heard. I absolutely love that. Love that. Okay. Final question. Here we are. We're coming back around. You took the test. Now, you don't have to pay attention to that test, Lauren. You know, if
right.
your heart tells you you're something that test does not say, I support you and your gut instinct. What kind of bender would you be?
So the kind of bender that I am clearly more appropriate for, and that the test, that pretty much every test, unless I literally threw the test, told me I was an airbender. Like I am very much like, don't like confrontation, don't wanna like, you know, be mean to anyone. Everything's fine. We're good. Like have fun. We just wanna kind of be fun and fancy free. But like the kind of bending that I appreciate the most is earth bending because I would like to make myself a hobbit hole. That's really what
yes.
I want. I like that it's like you can utilize it a lot. It's like I can make things. I'm a very crafty person. I like to like make things with my hands.
Yeah.
And I feel like earth bending would just allow me to do that more.
I think I've said this before, but when I went to Hobbiton in New Zealand, there was a gardener working at Hobbiton who came up to me and lifted up their trouser leg and they had an earth symbol on it and said, I'm an earthbender and I work at Hobbiton. And I was like, I love you.
It's amazing.
So much that makes me so happy knowing that those worlds have collided. It was amazing. So
it feels appropriate.
And for the people watching the visual of our podcast here, it's very clear to see that you definitely look like a Earth Kingdom member for
a lot
sure.
of earth colors. Yeah. There's a lot of good earth stuff going on in the background. Absolutely.
And may I say,
oh my gosh,
I think you can play a good Toph. I mean, your voice kind of is giving me some Toph vibes.
Aww.
I get that.
I definitely have a snarky, like sarcasm is really like a coping mechanism
there
of
you
mine.
Go.
So I feel like,
same.
Yeah, Toph and I, we're, you know, we use a lot of the same tools to get through
yes.
life.
Oh,
I love it.
I love it.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming to the show and teaching us how to be a decent storyboard artist. Thank you for the teaching. And I think it went really well. My first time ever drawing Aang. And I know. How do you feel about yours, Janet?
I feel like I'm going to do more with a pencil that I can actually erase without creating a 5 o'clock shadow. And I will submit those drawings for consideration. But I loved it. I loved it. And we love that you worked on so many other awesome verses. We talked, of course, about Voltron. Shout out again to Joaquim and Tim for that. And DC stuff, Scooby stuff, Marvel stuff. Like, you've touched sort of everything, every fandom I can think of, basically. Is there anything other than the Avatar movie, when it does come out, that you would like for people to check out or follow you on social media? Anything like that?
I'm on the social medias, but I don't take advantage of them very well. I'm like a once a year sort of a post lady. So, you know, you feel free to check them out. Just don't expect like a large influx of content.
Fair.
What's your favorite one to be on?
I'm on Instagram. That's the one I check. I think I still have an old Twitter or I guess X account that I haven't checked in probably a year. So let's stick with the Instagram. I am at the best Lauren Montgomery at Instagram, because I may not be the only Lauren Montgomery, but I like
the best.
That is a top handle if I ever heard one.
For sure.
The best Lauren Montgomery is 100% a top handle. I love it. Awesome. Lauren, thank you so much. This has been such a treat. And by the way, you absolutely can have your own podcast. Don't come after our job. You are not coming after yours. You've seen what we did.
I don't know. Look at that.
This was a joy.
I mean, we might reach out to you, Dante. Some help on this movie.
I'm here for a little Aang action. My shape language is developing.
Next step, Zuko.
I'm down for some pencil mileage. Let's go.
All right, friends, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Avatar Braving the Elements. Now, want more Avatar? You can follow the official Avatar accounts at Avatar The Last Airbender on Instagram and Facebook. You can also follow the official Avatar Braving the Elements account on TikTok at Avatar Official Podcast.
Tell your fellow Avatar friends to listen, rate, and follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
This podcast is hosted by Janet Varney and Dante Bosco. The theme song was composed and produced by Jeremy Zuckerman. Audio production and editing was provided by Zeke Rodriguez-Thomas and MindJam Media. Avatar Braving the Elements was executive produced by Lynn Keston-Sessler. Produced by Lisa Summerscale-Steeler with consulting producer Janet Varney, with production support from Kira Chow, and special thanks to Avatar Studios, Garrett Beltis, and Danielle Pretzfelder-Demchik. Trademark, copyright, and phone record, 2023 Viacom International Incorporated, all rights reserved. This has been a Nickelodeon original podcast.